Good evening, I'm Simon Brown and you're watching Stockwatch. Tackling your questions in studio tonight, Dricus Krombrink from Capicraft and Bright Kamalo from Vestact. Don't forget to send those questions through to us, SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, evening, thanks for joining us. A good day today. Most of the indices up 1.2% for the top 40. ZAR at 14.22. Market seems to think trade wars are over. Dricus, I'm not convinced.
No, I don't think it is. I think what we had today is a bit of a positive surprises on the economic front. U.S. new housing starts or housing permits, I think it was, for April was a good one. The month before that was revised up. So some good dates. The market needs to anchor on something else. Trade war, as it is at the moment, it can always escalate a lot further. But where we stand now, it's not going to kill the global economy.
It'll take some of the shine off, but it's not the end of the world.
A 20% rally that we've seen in the S&P since the lows, 24 December. So, yeah, I think the market was waiting for an excuse. Maybe that's priced and maybe not. We don't know where this is heading. But even in the absence of an immediate resolution, the markets overall are not expensive. And if we get good or not baddish economic data, worse economic data than we've seen the last few months, then the market should be steady. So the market will be looking for some other event or data point or something to anchor it to. In the absence of that, they will refocus on the trade wars and we might drift lower again.
Let's keep the market occupied, look over here. Brad, it's certainly American market is strong, Chinese market's doing perfectly fine. To Dricus's point, it almost was like an attraction, and now it's a case of, not that we've got certainty, but we'd forgotten about it. We now know what the story is. We can move on to other things to attract our attention.
Yeah, I mean, the one that, was a bit of the center of the attention with regards to the trade wars was Europe. You remember, mm-hmm. EU is still, in the we don't know what's going to happen zone, because they're one of the biggest manufacturers of cars, Germany to be specific. And Trump came out and didn't say anything about, those auto tariffs that everyone was expecting to come this week. And so far, so good, I guess. We'll take the good news.
Yeah, and there's other openings. If you're a soybean farmer, start shipping it to. So let's go to some results coming through. Dischem, I thought, yeah.
Not justifying the rating, in
not
my
close.
Opinion.
No, you could buy clicks for half the P.
Yeah, and if you dissect the numbers, the operational figures are even more mediocre. If I can, and they're investing a lot of money into, it's a lot of expansion capital going in there. So I think the market should have been very disappointed at the amount of capital or the return that they're getting for the amount of capital that's being spent, and especially with regards to the high, PE ratio that it's sitting on at the moment. So I'm careful. I think that's the two darling stocks at the moment on the JSE. It's Clicks and Dischem. And I might be completely wrong, but there's enough evidence for me to avoid them.
Yeah, we can strip out their losses due to strike action, etc. It's still a disappointing set of numbers on what is a share that is priced for good numbers. The growth is coming, but it's just not coming fast enough.
I mean, you're talking about, mid-single digit growth here for a company that trades north of 33, PE. for a growth stock, where's the growth, Yeah. What am I paying for?
That so, PE you want 25 would be disappointing.
Of course, like you said, even if I take all of those, the money they lost through, they said through the 5 months strike action, you put it back, you still don't get to a double digit earnings number, which is, it's appalling actually, to say the least.
Okay, so another one that's not double digit, Investec. I think part of the attraction is the separation of Investec Bank and the asset management business. Your take of the numbers, your take of perhaps Investec is less about the numbers and more about a value unlock when they split.
Yeah, look, I haven't actually sat down and thought about it and worked on the managed separation that they're doing, but we know that when markets are flying and everything is going well, we'll see that asset management business actually take off. But what was interesting is the fact that they had to can the aspirations for a robo advisor. I think they spent north of £12 million, a lot of money. And
quarter of a billion as well.
Yes, and thingy, David Shapiro celebrating, said at least he's still got another 10 years to go. So, because he doesn't understand algorithms, but unfortunately, sometimes these things happen. Maybe they're a bit ahead of their time there, but maybe these things will be important in the future. But they still increased assets under management. That's what's important.
Yeah, assets under management did grow, revenue grew, HEPS grew, none of them by giant numbers.
Yes. Compare the asset management division to what Coronation, the recent trading statement that they released. So I think a cut above Coronation from a cyclical point of view.
Yep.
Bigger, they're attracting inflows, which Coronation is not really doing.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't got performance fee issues like Coronation do, yet Coronation is trading in a low teen, at a low teen PE. Most asset management worldwide is trading at about a, let's call it anything, depending on quality, from 13 to about 17 price earnings ratio. That's a big division for Investec. If you strip that out and the rest of the bank continues trading at the European PE of about 8, which Investec is sitting at the moment, you've got some serious value unlock there. So I think the value unlock will come, and for some reason the market hasn't caught on to this.
Yeah, sidetracked by all the other noise out there. Long Life results were out yesterday. People on the Twitters asking about it. Not bad results. Of course, they have $1 billion in cash, which generates interest for them. That certainly helps. If you back that out of the numbers, your returns are perhaps not so stellar.
Yeah, what is the PE on cash?
One?
That's the thing. You can't keep it in cash, firstly, and it's been nice to having cash in this environment, and by no means do you want to push someone that's looking for the right deals to go after deals just for the sake of doing them.
Yeah.
So no pushing there, and a lot of the assets that they've acquired are of good quality, solid brand names, and they are actually in quite what I would regard it in defensive markets. So I think it's trading at a normalized earnings PE ratio of about 12.5, which is not expensive for the quality of companies that you're getting at the moment there.
Yeah, and I was frankly surprised at how Sorbet, which they paid $120 million for, is now doing $100 million revenues.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Joffe, he's not going to be there forever, but he's to the point. And he tried to do the Rage deal, and the market were like, don't be silly. And he backed off. He backed off.
Not like the deal. It made no sense. Also, what does Rage sell?
Shoes, khakis.
Yeah.
Them and 100 other stores.
You know how I know Rage? It's because I'm from Escort.
There's a Rage story.
There's your answer there. Yeah.
A Rage and a KFC.
That's pretty much it.
And a
pip. Point is.
Yeah, but the thing is, my big problem with this company, it's a very nice company, it's got very strong brands, everything works, right? But they're all lifestyle brands, very super cyclical. Mm-hmm.
That's all what he's talking for.
I drink gin and tonic in, summer. I'm not going to be drinking gin and tonic during winter. I don't really run that much outside during winter. Also, I run twice a week instead of running six times a week.
You say this is a summer stock.
This is a summer stock. It's very cyclical. So if you're buying it, know why you're buying it. I'll buy it because I love the brands, right? And someone might buy it because, they're playing this cyclical shift. So it's a very cyclical stock. You need to keep that in mind when, dabbling in that one.
What about MTN? Listed in, finally got listed in Nigeria. So many species.
A unicorn, yes, please,
almost
finally.
Failed. No, fair point, unicorn.
5.6 billion US dollars.
Unicorn. A very old unicorn in this particular case. Does this improve the investment case for MTN, or is MTN still an uninvestable case?
Look, it does, cut some of their problems, especially the regulatory types, and hopefully in the next coming 5, 6, 10 years, maybe we don't, come with another $2 billion US dollar fine for this reason or that or the other. And what I like the most is it's a form of an incentive for the staff that works in MTN Nigeria, because, it's going to be a proper compensation based on what they could create, that value that they could create directly. Whereas previously they used to get MTN group shares, which is this thing that's like so big they can't really put much into it. But whereas if it's at home, it's here, you know, you can measure the value. And also, if I'm compensating you with something that's in the market, in your currencies, you can actually understand it. And there's a market for, you know, buyers and sellers. It makes sense. So as an employer, I'd be very happy being at MTN right now, because then we can see some value unlock for ourselves in our hard work as well.
Yeah, and I mean, second biggest stock after Dangote Cement. They still got the $2 billion tax penalty, and we're talking US dollar here. They did get their special board of people. They've got the ex-central banker of Nigeria. I mean, you can see MTN as sort of, you know, what did you call it when you were on it's a lobbying board in a sense. MTN is the investment case there?
Yeah, I think this listing de-risks it to a certain degree. Nigeria is maybe one of the more riskier markets, maybe next to Iran. And especially from a currency perspective, the Naira is very volatile and completely implodes when money is drawn from frontier markets or the oil price collapses, etc. So de-risking, you know, they're selling 15% of their stake there. They've got cash and they can de-risk the balance sheet with that. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, from a regulatory point of view, it's not as easy to go after MTN from a legal or tax point of view if there's a lot of local shareholders that will also be angry at you.
That's the whole point.
A $2 billion fine when you've got a 5.6 market cap and those are now people in your country, it suddenly plays a different game. That was a clever move from them in that regard.
Gangster move.
Which is, absolutely. MTN through and through. What about Aspen? I mean, it had a good day today, but it's still only just popping its head above $100. Reports coming through, and I've been flying all day, I don't know if they've been confirmed, that the New Zealand is going to confirm the sale of the baby milk formula, which has been delayed, and they need to unleverage their balance sheet.
Yeah. I think confirmation of that will go a long way in easing the concerns around the balance sheet, firstly. And secondly, even though I don't like the business, it's probably undervalued here by 20-30%, and you might see a pop in the short term. What after that? I'm not sure. I know enough of the business to tell you guys that there's going to be growth in the future. They sold most of the star assets or all their growth assets, so they're not going to trade at higher multiples than, say, 20% higher than now, and I'm not seeing a lot of earnings growth coming through in the near future.
Yeah, they certainly, I mean, talk about high PEs. They were once a 40 PE and growing 40% a year, and they fitted. And, of course, both of those have unraveled with spectacular form. They're now almost an ex-growth business in many senses. Is that a fair price for the business?
Well, if the market says that's a fair price, it's probably the fair price where we are right now. But I can draw parallels from the Aspen and the MTN story in a way, because you know, these businesses grew by acquisition. They grew very fast, and you know, the darlings of the market as a result. But now MTN has, you know, sort of changed their strategy to focus more on operational excellence, right? I think, you know, the two directors, which is Gus Attridge and Stephen Saad, they're very proficient in deal making, but we need now an operational master, like how they got Rob Schuter and MTN. They need to get an operational master at Aspen. Something's got to give there. I'm very positive.
That's a good point. So sometimes your founder needs to move on to bring those new skills in, particularly if you're now ex-growth.
Exactly.
Before we go to break, question coming through around Salesforce, not a stock. I mean, I know bits about it. Rickers, you know something.
Salesforce is, I think, listed on NASDAQ.
Yeah.
It's basically CRM systems. They basically or mostly service short-term insurers. In the US, I think it's short-term insurers or the insurer market, brokers, etc. And it's fantastic software, great IP, and they've been flying. You know, typical software as a service company, and doing quite well. They're trading at a hefty PE, like most of those companies are. So you're not paying cheaply for the growth that you're getting. What's maybe not priced in there is the global reach that they might go for.
Yeah.
They've cornered the US market, and now they're looking offshore. So maybe that's not priced in. But you're paying a pretty penny for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're sticky once they're in, but they've got to stay. We need to go to break quickly before we do. Centova results, it's a stock I like, but you can see that they are finding it hard out there. Truthfully, no surprise.
It's a stock I hate to love.
That's a good phrase, yes.
Yeah, entered the stock about 3-4 years ago at about the same levels as now.
Yeah.
Saw it run in that time frame about two times to 4 rand and come back to 250. And they've been through a difficult time. And not bad results for the season that they're in. World Trade was at a standstill basically in the last 6 months, or World Trade growth. So a lot of shifts there, and sitting at a 7 or sub 7 price earnings ratio for what I think is actually a good quality business. So you're not paying a lot for it, and they're increasingly diversifying offshore and building a bit of a moat, I would say, building a better business over time. So I think you're not paying a lot for what you're getting.
And they up the dividend to 7.5 cents from 7, but that extra half cent will take it. Time for a quick break. Keep sending through questions, SMS 41392, or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. Let's take a look at how international markets are performing. The US, it's pretty much where it's been. The S&P up 1.25. It's been there more just after the open. NASDAQ a little behind, and the Dow just under 1%. As Drake has said, some good home building data coming out. And for now, we can shift our focus away from trade wars. Across in Europe, pretty much the same story. DAX leading the way up there, 1.75% after a strong sell-off over the last week and a half. CAC are on up 1.33%. FTSE 100 most definitely lagging 0.75% up. Still with me, Drukas Crumbring from Capricraft, Bart Kamala from Vestact. Gents, questions coming. African Rainbow Capital, ARL, they've got some interesting assets in terms of rain and the like. My sense is you need to put a valuation on Rain, and if you agree with their valuation, it's trading at a nice discount to net asset value. They offer the option if you want a BE partner, they've got cash, they can come help. Attractive investment for you?
Look, the market is telling you that it's priced at X, right? And they're saying it's priced at X plus something, right? And I'd be more inclined to believe the market, because the market is a discounting mechanism at some level. And I think the biggest gap there, the biggest gap, is that fee of 2.20 that's been implemented.
Oh, yes. I don't like their fee at all.
Exactly. If they dismantle that, half of that discount is gone. So until then, I mean, the assets are amazing. They were time banked, like you said. They got so many stuff in fintech, agriculture. They've got many things happening in the insurance space. And they actually wield, you know, power. It's not like these are small, you know, businesses. These are big businesses. Until then, I'll wait. I'll be patient. Eventually, these companies do dismantle the fees and they come to the market. And then you'll see the share price will pick up.
We're taking African Rainbow. I mean, I agree on the fee structure.
I'm not sure. I think the fee structure is actually layered.
Yeah, it's layered. Sure. It's something, but it's certainly hefty.
I can't remember, but I think it's a few good assets in there. One thing that I will be watching is them, if they're accumulating a lot of financial assets, and it's starting to look like they can form a new, not what you call a banking group, but a financial. Conglomerate maybe. That feeds into each other. So that's not impossible. If that happens and they pull together this and they unlock it by delisting or listing a part of it separately, I think that will be a major value unlock. So I'll be watching what they're busy with. Not there yet, though.
Yeah, and they've got good operators, the two Johannes. Yeah. I mean, these are not...
Johan and Johan,
which complicates office work. But what about Richemont? Very much a China play to a fair degree, in the sense that they're selling a lot of their overpriced watches in China.
Overpriced.
Your take on Richemont?
I think the glory days where the average Chinese business deal required 3 Swiss watches to complete it. I think that's gone. There was a major crackdown on corruption, obviously, in China, which eliminated a lot of, you know, corporate presence and etc. Still a quality
gifting.
Company. Yeah, gifting. But it's still a quality company, but you're not going to see the growth that you saw mid 2000s happen there. I'm not sure what is going to ignite growth again there. Maybe a resurgence in India and a taste for you know, Western-made luxury watches, something like that. I'm not sure.
They're going big online. They also bought a second-hand retailer of fancy watches. Frankly, I was gobsmacked when I saw that website. I'm not a watchman, haven't been for a long time. Your take on on Richemont and their very overpriced watches.
Look, this is a company, this is the bottom drawer type of investment. Like you say, you don't want to expect any massive growth from this business, but it will, preserve a lot of value if that's what you're looking for, and just collect those dividends slowly.
What about Capco, UK? Ever since Brexit, been a tough time.
UK assets are cheap at the moment.
Brexit's
for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, Brexit is going away. We just don't know when. But we know that at some point we're going to be sitting here and Brexit will be concluded.
And the pound at the moment is 128, and it was 132 just a few weeks ago against the US dollar. So it's weakening at the moment. Theresa May is...
I thought a year ago
she was on her way out, but she said now I'm resigning if the next deal doesn't go through. So they've given the Tories a lot of reason not to vote it in.
And basically, she's gone in June.
Yeah.
We'll get Boris.
Boris has already said he's up for the nomination. He's been first in line. And he's a hardliner. You know, so the market is starting to price in a hard Brexit year. And I don't think there will be initial shock reaction if there is a hard Brexit, like we had, and then things will normalize. It will take time.
So do you start picking up some of those quality at price? And Capco's quality?
I think a lot of UK assets, I can name 10 off the cuff, which I'll do at a price. But there's UK assets that you can buy. Some of them are listed here. Capco is good value at these levels. Investec, one of the reasons Investec is trading at the low levels that it is it's...
It's Brexit.
Brexit fears.
Yeah. Capco is also going to be potentially breaking up their Earls Court and their Covent Garden and doing a value unlock there, which perhaps adds to it. Would you be looking at Capco at this point?
I really don't have strong views on Capco, unfortunately. It is cheap where it is today, but
for a long time.
and it can stay cheaper for longer, but I don't really have nothing
to add. Okay, so then next move on to, where's my, there we go, the Discovery. I mean, I was looking at some of their retirement products, man, and they are so complicated. but complexity often does work. And of course, complexity hides all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, all that complexity, is it going to make me rich in retirement? And the answer is probably not. But Discovery, Vitality works very well.
But it's not making any money for anyone. Mm-hmm. It's just breaking even, and it's not meant to make money anyway. It's supposed to incentivize you to stay healthy so they don't have to pay your insurance sometime in the future, you see. Or just like basically take that back by a couple of years as far as they can before they start paying you. So then they have this capital to play around with to do other things with it. And in terms of the three businesses that they have, you look where the growth is coming from, right? It's, investing, it looks good. But the offshore stuff, I'm still trying to understand, where a lot of the growth is coming from. I can see, Ping An in China, but for all of the bloated cost base that they're paying people in pounds and US dollars, there hasn't been any return on capital from
offices in Sandton.
Exactly. So until we see that, return on capital, unfortunately right now it's still just, doing the hard yards.
Discovery for you? I mean, they've got that deal with John Hancock.
Aggressive accounting, aggressive actuarial assumptions, throwing a lot of money offshore, not yet seeing the returns. Maybe there's a growth story there. Quality brand in SA, but they're not growing insured lives. Almost no one is, except a few small niche players. But
and they had that stumble where a couple of billionaires got
150
killed.
150 of them
cost them a fortune. Bus accident.
So the South African business might be ex-growth if the middle class doesn't start growing again. So if the middle class starts growing again, well, then you can have your pick at the life insurers in SA.
Look, maybe at the right price, right? Because we're not totally writing it off.
Everything at the right price. What's that right price? 12.50 question coming through. Does Quilter fall into the Capco? In the sense that it's UK, it's quality, it's a good price. It might be a while, but...
Yeah, it's not as cheap, maybe as some of the others. I think a lot of the growth and a lot of the regulation that has changed in the UK will definitely play in Quilter's... favor, but some of that is already priced in. To what extent, I'm not sure.
Brad, for you, Barlow is doing their BBB, how many Bs? Three Bs, three two Bs. E's deals. and it's, you're not getting Barlow, you're getting property. There's a leaseback arrangement. Your discount's a little stingy, I thought. 15-year lock-in. What's your advice on this deal?
$2,500 minimum. I understand why, you know, people are complaining about the discount, but why are you so obsessed about the discount? Because, I mean, for every 1 rand you put down, management is putting, well, the company is putting 4 rands on your behalf, and you're still saying it's a bad deal. I don't know. I did maths, you know, and if you give me...
You did maths in escort, yeah, does that count?
Yes, it does count. I mean, if you're giving me those odds, I'll take them any day without, you know, looking too much into the fine detail, because it's a sweet deal when you just look at those numbers, okay, that gearing
so,
itself.
So you're liking it. Let's go to some stock picks. Drikus, Equinity. Say it again.
Equinity.
Yeah, that one. London.
Equinity, London, about £1 billion pound market cap. Also cheap for the same reasons. So UK asset, about an 11 price earnings ratio forward for what is extreme quality in my opinion. We all know ComputerShare here. They do basically that. They share registry
the
service.
Equivalent.
They've got 80% of the market and it's still growing. They're cornering the whole share registry market.
I hope
market.
Their services are better than ComputerShare.
And ComputerShare is the market leader in the US, which is actually much more fragmented. And they've bought Morgan Stanley's share registry service business. It's about 20% of the market share there. And they've also got three other what we call RegTech businesses, which are used to cross-pollinize their client base. And the typical share registry service client that they have, they now earn a few years later after acquiring that client, they now make 4 times more out of the other businesses than the eventual one. So you see that growth continue in the US.
A nice defensive, I imagine. Brett, you're going with Uber, a business who in their IPO says, you know what, we might never make money.
But that they have to say that in their IPO.
If well, also because it's
Spotify
true.
Said it. Yeah, but a lot of other,
in the case
Slack
of Uber,
is going to say it.
In the case of Uber, it probably might be true.
It might be true, it's fine, but I'm just hedging myself from all the Ubers I take every day. But, I mean, their food delivery business is fantastic.
So the food I like.
It could be profitable very soon as compared to, you know, the rides. They still have to do something about that. For every dollar you spend on an Uber, they spend 1.3.
They must charge me more. I've taken 11 Ubers this week, and if it cost me more, would I have taken less? Nope, I would have taken 11.
But actually, every sixth Uber that you take is actually almost free anyway.
Oh, no, 80 bucks off, dude. I've been doing 300-400 rand Uber trips, airports and the like. We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guests, Drikus Kromming from Capricroft, Brad Kamalo from Vestact. More of your stock-related questions on Monday with Julieta. Till then, have a good evening. Let's go to some stock picks. Drikus,
Equinity.
Say it again.
Equinity.
Yeah, that one. London.
Equinity, London, about £1 billion pound market cap. Also cheap for the same reasons. So UK asset, about an 11 price earnings ratio forward for what is extreme quality in my opinion. We all know ComputerShare here. They do basically that. They share
they're
registry
the ComputerShare
service.
Equivalent.
They've got 80% of the market and it's still growing. They're cornering the whole share registry market.
I hope
market.
Their services are better than ComputerShare.
And ComputerShare is the market leader in the US, which is actually much more fragmented. And they've bought Morgan Stanley's share registry service business. It's about 20% of the market share there. And they've also got three other what we call RegTech businesses, which are used to cross-pollinize their client base. And the typical share registry service client that they have, they now earn a few years later after acquiring that client, they now make 4 times more out of the other businesses than the eventual one. So you see that growth continue in the US.
A nice defensive, I imagine. Brett, you're going with Uber, a business who in their IPO says, you know what, we might never make money.
But that they have to say that in their IPO.
Well, also because it's
Spotify
true.
Said it.
Yeah, but
a lot of other,
in the case
Slack
of
is
Uber,
going to say it.
In the case of Uber, it probably might be true.
It might be true, it's fine, but I'm just hedging myself from all the Ubers I take every day. But, I mean, their food delivery business is fantastic.
So the food I like.
It could be profitable very soon as compared to, you know, know, the rides. They still have to do something about that. For every dollar you spend on an Uber, they spend 1.3.
They must charge me more. I've taken 11 Ubers this week, and if it cost me more, would I have taken less? Nope, I would have taken 11.
But actually, every Uber, every sixth Uber that you take is actually almost free anyway.
Oh, no, 80 bucks off, dude. I've been doing 300-400 rand Uber trips, airports and the like. We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guests, Dricus Crombing from Capricroft, Bright Kamala from Vestact. More of your stock-related questions on Monday with Julieta. Till then, have a good evening.